May it please the court, counsel. My name is Heather Jackson, and I represent the appellant, Stephen Glass, in this appeal. Given the short amount of time that I have here this morning, I'd like to focus my oral presentation on our second argument as presented in the brief, specifically that the district court should have converted Mr. Glass's habeas petition into a civil rights action. Well, now he could not file a 1983, it wouldn't be actually a 1983 suit, it would be a Bivens action. But he would be prevented from filing one due to the 2-year statute of limitations under Bivens. Well, he is sick, Your Honor. It is continuing. I'm sorry? Your Honor, he is receiving no treatment at all. It's my understanding that in April of 2003, he was sent to a gastroenterologist by the Bureau of Prisons. The gastroenterologist, a private doctor, recommended PEG interferon again, and the Bureau of Prisons has not provided that treatment. Aside from his regular doctor visits, approximately once a year, he was reported to me, and drawing blood approximately 4 times a month, he has received no treatment since March of 2003 for his hepatitis C. Well, he could, if he went through, he'd have to go through correct. And it's our position that he has had damages that were sustained by the 2002 decision not to treat him. That decision has cost him a couple years now, that he has continued, his medical status has deteriorated significantly. His viral load count is approximately, it's over 7 million. At the point in time in March of 2002, it was approximately 1 million. And so while he could today potentially file a civil rights complaint, we think that there was significant damage that occurred in 2002, and that's what he is attempting. Well, Your Honor, as you're aware, pro se prisoner complaints and pleadings are given a liberal pleading standard. It's our position that Mr. Glass, he's not a lawyer, he did the best he could. He thought that the appropriate way to approach his attempt to seek medical treatment was through habeas. He took all of the steps. He perfected his habeas petition. He went through the whole administrative review proceeding. And as it turns out, while there are a couple of cases out there that have granted review of the denial of medical care on the basis of habeas, it's our position that he shouldn't be thrown out and not be allowed to present any evidence. Because as a prisoner, having not gone to law school, he didn't pick the right path. Well, Well, Your Honor, it's our position that based on the district court's opinion, that Mr. Glaus could not really, I mean, as a non-lawyer reading this opinion, the district court tells him, number one, habeas is inappropriate. And then it goes on to say that it would be inappropriate also to address this through a civil rights claim. And the district court says because the petitioner would face obstacles under the Prison Litigation Reform Act. It doesn't say what those obstacles are, but it says you can't get it through a civil rights claim, you can't get it through habeas. I think that if a prisoner were to look at this and say, well, I could defy this district court's opinion and go ahead and file a civil rights case, a Bivens action, although the district court told me not to do so, I'm not quite sure why. Your Honor, I think that we could remedy that by... Your Honor, it's our position that he should be allowed to amend to add additional defendants. In terms of the statute of limitations problem, you know, Mr. Glaus did the best that he could in 2002. He followed all of the procedures pursuant to habeas. That is why he named the warden. He thought that he was following the requisite procedures, the appropriate approach to a remedy, and the fact is the district court should have reached the substance of his Eighth Amendment claim. Right. Exactly. Right, and there's actually no evidence in the record that 1915 would even have prevented him from filing anything even. Right. Yes. Your Honor, I think he ultimately wants a chance to be heard on the fact that he has been denied medical care by the Bureau of Prisons. He wants treatment. But the fact that... I'm sorry, Your Honor. Yes, I believe that that would be... Yes. Yes, Your Honor, I do want to address another issue, which is the fact that, yes, he wants treatment. Yes, it is. I'm into my rebuttal time, I believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm with Paul Pepper, attorney for the Bureau of Prisons. May it please the court and counsel. As we're focusing on the second issue, I think the question comes is, why didn't the petitioner, Mr. Glaus, go ahead and refile? The district judge, the Honorable James Foreman, gave him that invitation if he wanted to do it. You're right, Your Honor. The invitation is maybe a little too much. I don't know if courts ever really invite people to file suits or even new suits. I think what the court was saying, it was clear that the court itself didn't feel it was right or, using the word, appropriate for the court itself to go ahead and convert it. The court is letting him know some of the hoops that he has to understand before he goes ahead and files suit. For example, in the judge's order, he refers to the Prison Litigation Reform Act. Well, there's exhaustion requirements there. Well, Your Honor, I can't really concede the first point you made, and that's because of lack of knowledge. This file came to the judge or the petition, and there are certain things that are missing from the petition. For example, the exhaustion. It shows the Bureau of Prisons' responses, but and pardon me if I'm incorrect, I don't know if all the attachments to the petition show what he, Mr. Glaus, actually submitted to the BOP. So it doesn't show all those things that would perhaps go into open the door into a Bivens action. For example, responsible parties, things that go in with personal responsibility, suing somebody for their individual capacity in a Bivens action. But that. Absolutely. But I think that is tied to a normal Bivens action. I think you have to do a normal Bivens action. For example, the normal one would be pursuant to, I think, Estelle versus Gamble, where you a Bivens action against a federal actor for denying someone their serious medical needs or treatment for their serious medical needs. So I believe that type of relief, injunctive relief and equitable relief, even declaratory relief, would have to attach to something akin to that. I think he has to. I don't know, Your Honor. I think he would have that. I mean, the Bivens specifically says that it's against a federal official for monetary damages. Okay. And but getting back to the. Oh, I agree, Your Honor. I agree. But it gets back to the fact that. What? Sorry, Jan, I don't mean to go that far on a tangent. No, I'm not making that same invitation at all. Yes, Your Honor. That is absolutely correct, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Yeah, well, I certainly don't think there's a requirement, Your Honor, and as far as commercial, yes. And I think that it could certainly be, there's a number of different tacks that could be taken. One could be, I possibly frowned upon, is where the judge just makes a ruling and doesn't put any language in there suggesting to the petitioner what options he or she may have. There's the second option, where the court can go ahead and make an informed denial, and I would submit in arguing this morning that Judge Foreman did do that. Judge Foreman went in and said, you know, we're not going to let you pursue this as a habeas. We feel that it's, you know, another type of case. These are some of the obstacles that you may face, obstacles under the PLRA and 1915, and what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and dismiss this case without prejudice. And sorry, the third one would be something that has happened every once in a while, is where the case it comes up to here and it just gets remanded and converted upon remand. Oh yeah, I believe they do. Yes, Your Honor. Well, I say I believe he did, and I'm wondering if he said something that acknowledged. I believe that, and sorry, this is speculation from the order, Your Honor, that Judge Foreman felt that he could, and he was construing as something that was mislabeled, but that he wasn't going to go ahead and do it because possibly what he might have thought is he wanted to let this person have a chance to rethink his position as to whether he wants to pursue this action by another route other than habeas, things that are going to have obstacles, for example, exhaustion obstacles, the $150 filing fee pursuant to 1915, the three strikes you're out. Who knows if he had already had three strikes and couldn't bring something through Bivens or any other amendment. Yeah. Sorry, part and parcel of 1915, $150 requirement. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't make that clear. So for those reasons, I think the judge did the right thing, the district judge, by giving a very informed and saying, I'm not going to convert it, but I'll tell you what, I'm dismissing it without prejudice. You know, if you want to refile it, go ahead and please refile. All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
No, we wouldn't argue that. However, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm not following the question. Well, Your Honor, we think that we obviously would have lost the cause of. What difference does it make if the case is?
Look, if we already converted, or what difference does it
make? I'm sorry. I'm just not following the question.
That.
Your Honor,
you appeal because you must have thought that somehow
Your Honor, I didn't file the – it was the client who made the determination to file the notice of appeal, and he did so because he thought that he could not file another action, another civil rights action. I know that, but he was unrepresented by counsel at the time. Your Honor, our position is that the substance of the petitioner's Eighth Amendment.
I'm not asking you about what difference is
Yes. No, I do believe that there is. Your Honor, I'd like to revisit the point that I made to Judge Ripple. The fact is, as of the time, in 2002 and today, what my client seeks is medical treatment. However, he does believe also that he has a cause of action for damages resulting from the denial of treatment in 2002. Yes, I did, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.